Stay tuned for a message from Facebook after the show.
If I had to describe the 2016 Republican National Convention, I might describe it like this. It predicted everything about the Trump presidency. Dark, divisive rhetoric, a focus on threats.
We are going to build a great border wall.
And enemies beyond our borders.
We are going to defeat the barbarians of ISIS, and we're going to...
And within our borders.
I will restore law and order to our country.
All umbrellaed by the omnipresence of Trump.
My father and our next president, Donald J. Trump.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Michael Cruz on what the 2016 RNC can tell us about what we're going to see from President Trump and the Republican Party this week.
Please welcome the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you.
The theme of the convention that year was made clear right out of the gate that Monday.
I'm here to speak to you about a very serious subject: how to make America safe.
It was literally called Make America Safe Again. And not only did it set the tone for the rest of that week, it set the tone for what we now know as the Trump presidency.
The vast majority of Americans today do not feel safe. They fear for our police officers who are being targeted with a target on their back.
In the biggest moment of Wednesday, Ted Cruz, fellow Republican, obviously, Trump's stiffest competitor throughout the primaries in 2016, chose to not endorse Trump, telling people in the convention hall and all over America to stand for principles.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak.
And to, quote, vote your conscience.
Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom.
What made that moment so remarkable and how it previewed what was to come was that the crowd booed Cruz off the stage.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
It was made clear to him, to Cruz, through the crowd's reaction, delegates from his own home state of Texas. It was made clear to him that the expectation from here on out was loyalty to Trump above all else. And Cruz, like so many others in the party, eventually came around and has spent the last 4 years in his corner, embracing him and helping him along the way. And in that respect, we really did see in a very clear way the expectation of loyalty to the point of fealty to the man who would become president a couple months later.
Now we're heading into another Republican convention, starting today with President Trump at the helm again, this time as an incumbent president. How do you think this one will look based off of what we saw in 2016?
Obviously, so much is different, even though the Republicans this week are going to have more live components than the Democrats did last week, or at least that is the indication. It still will look utterly different from what it looked like in 2016 in Cleveland. The coronavirus crisis just won't allow anything else. But I think it's safe to say that the themes that were established 4 years ago in Cleveland will still be at the fore, as Jen Mersica, professor of rhetoric, told me, who has studied all of Trump over these last 5 years. She said, this is going to be an intensification and a continuation of what we saw in 2016. The thing I'm interested in is whether or not there is anything almost opposite of that. The president reportedly over the last few days has bemoaned kind of what he saw as the doom and gloom of the Democrats.
5 million Americans infected by COVID-19. More than 170,000 Americans have died. By far the worst performance of any nation on earth.
He wants a more upbeat show. I don't know that he will acknowledge the number of dead, but will certainly, I would be surprised, let's put it this way, I would be surprised if he doesn't say something about how that number would have been much, much higher without certain actions he took. I'm interested to see the mixture of these things, these different pieces, almost at odds pieces in some cases, and how they're put together on the fly as well. And another giant difference between the Democrats' convention last week and the Republicans this week is that the Democrats made the decision to go almost entirely virtual much, much earlier on, whereas, of course, the Republicans wanted to do it in Charlotte, scrapped that, went to Jacksonville. That obviously didn't work out, and now they're in Washington for the most part with some, you know, virtual components as well. So this has been thrown together on the fly. Maybe it will work and maybe it will not. For as predictable as it is to me, at least in content, it is kind of has an unpredictable air just to see how well it's been thrown together from a production standpoint. He has some reality TV veterans working on it, people who even worked on The Apprentice in some cases. So it will be something and people will watch. And as always, there will be lots and lots and lots of Donald Trump and people with his name.
Well, this is a president who has a history in reality television himself, who likes this sort of blockbuster, big production with him at the center.
Who will succeed and who will fail and who will be The Apprentice?
But like you mentioned, we're in the middle of a pandemic. This is going to look different from, you know, all previous Republican conventions. How do you think that's going to mesh with President Trump and with President Trump's style?
I mean, TBD. But I think one of the really interesting things to keep in mind here is that everything the president says and does lands differently with different portions of the American population and electorate. Different people watch the same man and the same administration and see such different things. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that half of the country, or maybe a little bit more than half of the country, will watch and see a president who is still on the warpath and denying the reality of the pandemic. And the other half of the country, or slightly less than half of the country, will see a sunny, upbeat, accomplished president making a strong case for another 4 years. I think if there is a prediction for how the next 4 days of the Republican National Convention will play to America, that's probably the safest one.
So then does it even matter what happens or what he says this week?
It's hard to think that anything we saw the last week with Democrats or that we'll see this week will have an unbelievably important effect on how people vote come November. But it all sort of goes into this stew, right, that creates the outcome on Election Day or hopefully shortly thereafter.
Michael Cruz, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Also today, the White House is dismissing a $25 billion emergency funding bill for the U.S. Postal Service that was passed by the House over the weekend. Democrats say the measure is urgently needed to halt any attempt by President Trump to impede mail-in voting this fall. On top of the billions in funding, it'd block operational changes at the agency that have caused widespread mail delays and fueled uproar across the country. But White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is rejecting the legislation, calling it a political statement and saying he hopes the Republican-led Senate amends the measure to, quote, actually address many of the things that are hurting America right now. The bill is headed next to the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is eyeing a skinny coronavirus bill that would include $10 billion for the Postal Service, a proposal Democrats say falls short. And President Trump has declared a major disaster in California, opening the state up to federal emergency funds as it battles massive wildfires that have forced tens of thousands of people to flee from their homes. Last weekend, thousands of unusual lightning strikes sparked hundreds of blazes throughout the state. In the San Francisco Bay Area, two clusters of fires have grown to become the second and third largest wildfires on record in the state, one burning north of San Francisco and another burning east of San Jose. At least six people have died and hundreds of buildings have been destroyed. In a statement, Governor Gavin Newsom thanked President Trump for granting a disaster declaration, saying, quote, "These are unprecedented times and conditions, but California is strong." Adding, "We will get through this." Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And to stay up on all of our coverage of the RNC this week, check out Politico Minutes, a daily look at the biggest takeaways from the convention. You can find a link to that in this episode's show notes. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.
In preparation for the U.S. elections, we've taken critical steps at Facebook to secure our platforms and provide transparency. We've more than tripled our safety and security teams to 35,000 people, implemented five-step ad verification, and launched a new voting information center. Learn more at how we're preparing at fb.com/about/elections. That's fb.com/about/elections.